Praise God. Amen, amen. Go to your Bibles this morning if you have it. If not, you can go to the screen. We're going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, about one verse of scripture for you today. We're going to go right into what the Lord has placed in my spirit. Never preached here before. And looking in my Bible, I've only preached one time out of this actual chapter. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that was, looks like 6 years ago almost. Amen. But it wasn't this. But praise God. The Lord laid this, opened this to my spirit. Amen. And we want to bring you what the Lord has brought us. We are on the threshold between Passover and Pentecost. Amen. We are on the counting up. Amen. The counting of the Omer in the Hebrew is the counting up. We don't count down. We count up because we're moving up. Amen. To a fresh experience. Amen. Of the presence of the Lord. Praise God. And so we've got to stay, amen, in that place of reception. Amen. When we are in this place that we back and we don't pay attention to what was, but we keep our eyes on what is yet to be. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that can pull you away, but I'm glad that the shackles have been broken off my feet. And now I can dance. Amen. Because of that, I just want to praise you. Amen. 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 Isaiah chapter 30, verse 32. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. Hallelujah. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word. Amen. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for this atmosphere this morning. I thank you, Father, for the fire that is already in this place. I thank you, God, for the chains that have been broken, for the minds that are here available for the transformation. I thank you, Father God, for your presence in the presence of this people. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. If the Lord will allow me, I simply want to minister on this thought. Battles of shaking. Battles of shaking. Look at your neighbor and say, battles of shaking. Hallelujah. Again, we're glad for everybody that's here this morning. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for being here today. Praise God. But as we look in the book of Isaiah, we mentioned Isaiah in our Bible study on Thursday night as one of the prophets that stand out, amen, about the mercy, amen, and the patience of God. Let me just say this. If you haven't made the effort to be here on Thursday nights for studying the fruit of the Spirit, I would encourage you to, amen, come. You might pick up some things, amen, that will strengthen you and help you, amen. Praise God. We use things as a weapon, but we don't know what they're used for, amen. Praise God. And so we want to cultivate the word of God. But Isaiah, amen, one of those prophets, amen, that is one of the major prophets in the scriptures. This particular prophecy of Isaiah was given when the Assyrian army was attacking Israel and Judah. There was a lot of things taking place, amen, that it took place among Israel. Praise God. And understand that Israel was the northern kingdom at Jerusalem. Now, Israel is Israel, amen, but there was a separating, there was a dividing, amen. And so Israel was the northern kingdom and Judah was the southern kingdom, amen. And so at this time, amen, of Isaiah's prophecy, amen, the Assyrians were attacking Israel and Judah. But the northern kingdom, which was Israel, was very soon conquered by Assyria, and its people was taken into exile. So this left us with, amen, the tribe of Judah. Amen, that southern Judah, southern kingdom. And the Assyrians begin to pursue Judah. Now understand that it was out of Judah, amen, that we get the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, amen, amen. But the Assyrians pursued Judah, that southern kingdom, and because of this threat, amen, the leaders of Judah begin to look to Egypt for protection against, amen, this invasion. invasion. Because of this threat, they begin to look to Egypt. Now, Egypt, they looked to Egypt by their own will. This was not God inspired. This was not the will of God. Amen. It was not the counsel of the Spirit. Amen. And so this reason that, amen, it was not of God, they began to forsake God. In other words, they forsook God in this time of conflict. Amen. And now they are looking to Egypt. Amen. Praise God, out of their own will. Now, it's wise to understand that they needed help and they couldn't do it on their own. That was a good thing, that they understood that, you know what? We need help from the outside. We cannot do this. We cannot fight and we cannot conquer the Assyrians from the inside. Amen. But it was foolish and evil of them to look to others, especially to Egypt. Amen. And so instead of looking to the Lord, amen, they began to look to Egypt. Now it's one thing, it's one sin to reject God, but it's together, amen, to trust in something else. Amen. It's one thing to put God to the side, but it's another sin to put your trust in something else other than God and His Word. Now here's what you got to understand. Egypt was Israel's closest major neighbor. Amen. And Egypt was representation. Remember, we just came through Passover. So Egypt was the place that God's people, or Israel, was held in slavery unto Pharaoh. They cried out to God after 430 years for God to deliver them. He raised up Moses and delivered them out of Egypt. And so Egypt represented the old life. Egypt represents, amen, that old life to the slavery of sin. Egypt represents the past and what we come out of. And now Egypt, being, amen, Israel's closest major neighbor, they were also a superpower and they were right next door to Israel. And so as Israel begins, amen, to look for a help, to look for ways to overcome the enemy, to be able to overcome the Assyrians invading them, they already saw what happened to smaller, amen, than Israel, a much smaller kingdom than Israel was. And seeing what they were able to do to Israel, they were afraid. And so as they began to seek for some kind of help, hallelujah, can I tell you, amen, that the enemy will make it look like that some connections or some opportunities are a God thing, but they aren't always the will of God. Can I get somebody, amen, to help me today? Amen. You see, you got to remember that we are natural slaves to sin. By nature, we are slaves to sin. It does not take any effort to mess up. It does not take any effort to fall short of the glory of God. It does not take any effort for us to sin and to go in, as you saw in the drama. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It comes natural. And if we indulge long enough, pretty soon we're going to enjoy it. And it's going to become comfortable. And we're going to become accustomed to that sin. But can I tell you that Satan is a much harsher taskmaster than any of the pharaohs ever were. So it's not the same as them seeking into Egypt and Egypt's dominion to give them help, as it is for you and I to indulge in the ways of the flesh, for you and I to think, amen, and to consider our own ways and our own thoughts above the thoughts and the ways of the Lord. Because what Satan wants, wants to do. Just as the Pharaoh, Satan wants to get you to the place to where you feel like that there is no way out. Do you feel like that it is an impossibility for you to ever change or be different? Oh, come on, somebody stay with me this morning. I'm not going to keep you long, but can I tell you that we cannot take counsel and we cannot consider any of the ways of our past? I don't know who the Lord is talking to this morning, but quit thinking about the ways of your past. Somebody in the house is considering, amen, the old ways. I'm not saying you've given up on the Lord completely, but because of the difficulty, because of the intensity of the conflict, the enemy is getting you to consider maybe some old connections, maybe some old ways of handling and taking care of situations. You say, but if it is not the will of God, it is going to separate you from the favor and the blessing. Get your hands out of Egypt and get your face. Hallelujah, Lord. The prize this morning. And God began to speak to Judah. Look at your neighbor and say, talk to us, Lord. Talk to us, Lord. God said to them, as they were considering the counsel and the help of Egypt, God said to them from heaven, amen, that Egypt was no substance, just a mere shadow. Hallelujah. He said that there was no substance to this help to Egypt. And a matter of fact, he called Egypt Rahab him Shabbat in the Hebrew. He said Egypt was Rahab him Shabbat. Amen. That's translated in the Hebrew, meaning Rahab sits idle. The word Rahab is a name, but in the Hebrew it means pride. It means arrogance. And so he was saying that pride is going to be doing nothing for you. In other words, Egypt will make you think that they're going to be there for you. But the pride and the arrogance of Egypt means they're going to sit idly by and watch you be destroyed by your enemy. The enemy will make you think that there's some people you can count on. He'll make you think that there's some things that you can get by with that'll bring you some relief. But I'm here to tell you that Egypt, the devil, however you want to say it, your past will sit idly by and watch the enemy destroy you, your family, your mind, your help, your finances, your marriage, until your life has come to an end. I need somebody to help me. I feel the Holy Ghost sooner than I needed to. Come on, somebody, do you understand? Hallelujah. Rahab him Shabbat. Pride doing nothing. It's what God said Egypt is. And so God said, I want you to write this down. God wanted it documented for everybody before it all unfolded. God wanted it wrote down. So that why would God want it wrote down before it unfolded? So that when it they would be able to trust him more. When it happened the exact way God said it would, and it was written down and documented before it happened, they would be able to look and say, God said that it would be this way. So now we can trust his word. He said it would be that way. But you see where God is. We talked about it on the
way, you can rest assured that on the flip side of that, he's got a remedy. And so when they see that it happened the way that now they can go to the remedy, that it was going to happen, and he said that if we repent, he would do this. Now they can trust him that he's going to do what he said he would do. So you might get that next month. God, he said, God, he said, it's folly trusting in Egypt, foolish to put in your trust in things that have no power, that have no substance. Have you ever tried to grab a shadow? It's impossible. He said that's what Egypt is. Egypt is a shadow. There's no substance. It's not real. The enemy will always make it look greener on this side. He'll always make it look more effective over here. He'll always bring the people. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Into your life. That's it. If you just connect here, it'll be better. But when it all comes down, amen, at the end of the day, it's nothing but a shadow. There's no substance to it. It's and he said, you want to hear from the prophets, but you don't want to hear the truth. He says, you want to hear the prophetic words, but you don't want to hear the truth. Come on, somebody. I could hang right there for a little bit and preach. I don't feel the pulling of God to, but I'm going to tell you something. It is the truth that will make you free. It's not a half truth. It's not something that makes you feel good. It's not a feel good emotion that'll make you free. It's the truth that'll make you free. See, making free is a process. That means when you grab hold of the truth, amen. See, when it's more than an emotion, once you're on a different high or you go to a different low, amen, then the emotion changes. Therefore, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Amen. Therefore, amen, the freedom, amen, begins to dwindle. But when you let the truth make you free, when you fall or you fail, hallelujah, the truth will not keep you down there. The truth will not beat you down and tell you that it's not ever going to be any different. The truth will never entertain the lie of the enemy, but the truth will whisper, get up, get up, get up. There's a remedy. And as you get up, hallelujah, God and the Spirit and His Word and the truth begin to make you newer than you were when you fell. And so it's making you free. And whom the Son, S-O-N, hath made free is free. See, there will be consequences for their lack of trust and their lack of regard for God. Come on. Somebody said, oh, Lord, it's hard. Listen, you got to understand it's the truth.
Right.
But God's got a remedy. He offered them. He said, write this down. Document what I'm saying. That Egypt's not gonna do for you. And that taking me, write this down. But you see, I also told them to write it down. See, he offered them a promise of protection. See, I told you that on every other side, hallelujah, of it, God's got a remedy. Amen. He's offered them, hallelujah, deal or no deal. Come on, somebody, better go watch that game show. Deal or no deal, I like to watch it. Amen. They got a new one on about in an island. Amen. Lady sat down, I was watching it the other day. She got up and she said, why do you watch this? Because I like it.
Because the owner.
So you're given a promise. And you can take the deal. Or no deal. But see, God don't deal. Sin deals.
Yes.
You've got to pay.
Come on, preach it.
God gives promises. Assurance, because Jesus has already paid the price for the sin that's brought you to the table in the first place. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
So God said, here's the thing. They give you an option. It is like this, and you have forsaken me. But if you will put your faith in the promise of my protection, hallelujah, there would be a returning or a repentance back to me. And the result of that returning is going to give you rest. Intervention. There's some people in this place that need to experience the rest of God. You need to experience the quietness. Every demon has to shut up and has to bow at that name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? The blood of Jesus assures it. Amen. And promises it to be so. God said that there will be consequences for your lack of trust and regard for me. But I'll give you protection.
Absolutely.
I'll take care of you. I'll fight on your behalf.
Yes.
I will deliver you out of the hand of the enemy if you will return to me.
Yes.
He said, I will give you rest. See, when you're in that position, you don't have to argue your side when God is on your side. You don't have to follow somebody else. Ask the preaching pastor. You don't have to argue your side when you know God is already on your side. So no matter what rises up from the pits of hell, no matter what rises out of the world, greater is he that is in me. He that is in the world. Amen. If the Lord is on my side, who can rise up against me? Come on, somebody.
Amen. God, hallelujah.
You don't have to argue.
Right.
Sure. Your side, because Jesus is already standing at the judge's bench. Fighting your plea, your case, your advocate, your attorney.
Yes.
Come on, praise God.
Attorney who is the law.
God said, I will wait. Remember, I told you he's long suffering.
Absolutely.
He's patient.
Yep.
Yes. David said his long suffering is forever. He is patient.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His amen. Praise God. He will wait. He is long suffering. In other words, he will let mercy be at your dispense. Are you with me? Why would God extend mercy? because his mercy with us exalts him. Come on, somebody. His mercy with us exalts him. If he lets us go and doesn't, amen, extend mercy and will just let us be our own destruction, what kind of God, what kind of mercy, what kind of praise, amen, what kind of glory does he get out of that? But when he allows us, amen, to go our way, but he doesn't allow the destroyer to destroy us, but his mercy waits patiently for us to rise up and say, okay, God, I've had enough. I can't do this on my own anymore. I don't understand it, but I can't do this anymore. You can have the drugs, you can have the alcohol, you can have the pornography, you can have the fornication, you can have the premarital sex, you can have it all, God, because I need rest. I need your provision and your protection. His mercy with us exalts him. That's why the Bible says, blessed are those who wait on him.
Yes, absolutely.
Blessed are those who wait on the Lord. He promised blessing by responding to their cry. I want somebody to know that he's heard you. And somebody reach out to me recently, so that they felt like God didn't hear them. Simply put, God is not deaf.
Right.
He is omniscient.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is all knowing. He knows every breath you take.
Absolutely.
Hmm? So much so, he knows what you ate last.
Right.
Amen. We were at our middle daughter's yesterday, amen, in Louisville. She made these spicy chicken kebabs and had all these different spices, amen. We got home, amen, and Merritt's getting ready to go to bed, and he comes to, amen, and, you know, Merritt's good night, it's good night. Legitimately, he came up and gave me a kiss. He said, "Your breast stinks."
I love you too.
I said, "Yeah, it probably does." But God knows so much about us that he knows what our breath smells like. Come on. What can I say? It probably did smell. I wonder why I would get upset with him. He knows everything about us.
Yeah.
Now God hears when everybody cries out. But he's attentive to those who are righteous and in covenant with him. That means his response is a little different than it is to those who are not in covenant with him. Are you with me? Amen. So God hears, God knows, amen. His eyes are over the righteous and his ear is open to their cries first. And so he promised blessing by responding to their cry. They were his covenant people. And they would begin to desire purity and holiness. They would begin, as they see the mercies of God, they would begin to desire purity. Isaiah said they would begin to desire holiness unto the Lord. He said they would throw away the unclean thing. See, they still had in their houses idols of silver and gold. Pagan idols of silver and gold. And God said, I thought about that. And I thought about how the religious people will tell people when they get saved that you gotta get rid of this. But some things are no brainer. But everyone works out their own soul salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. God didn't call us to be robotic.
Right. Amen.
He called us to be repentant.
Amen.
And so I thought about that, how amazing that was, that God would have mercy on them and that He would spare them from the enemy while they still had those pagan idols in their house. Don't let the enemy tell you that you cannot serve God and still have a struggle in your life.
Come on. Right.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Yes.
I don't know who I'm talking to today.
Good.
But I promise you that the more you pursue Him,
yes.
And the more that He waits,
yes.
And that His mercy is new in your life every day. And the more that you wait on Him and you recognize that what He said is true, that you will begin to hunger and desire for more of Him and more of His ways, to where, amen, you will desire the purity and you will desire the holiness, the unclean things out of your life. That unclean, that word unclean is translated, amen, literally, amen, a menstrual cloth. So imagine a dirty menstrual cloth, amen, after a woman has, amen, finished her cycle. That is not something that you would take and put up on the shelf. It's certainly not something that you would hold value to. But everything other than God and His ways is likened unto a menstrual cloth. That's why He said, amen, that our righteousness is as the unclean rags or the menstrual cloth. That's what our righteousness is compared to. So if you would not put, somebody's like, I can't believe you saying that. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. You talk worse than that at the lunch table. Come on. Amen. Come on, somebody. You, amen, if you would not put a dirty menstrual cloth on the shelf in the cabinet, you would not, amen, hold value to it. Why would you put value and keep anything else in your life that is not from God, of God, with God, for God, to God? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So we simply got to just say, get away. Just get away. God, I'm going somewhere. He said, if you will wait on me, if you will let my mercy deliver you, come on, hallelujah, I will give you rain for your seed. What a promise. What a promise. That no matter how dry it looks, no matter how dry it is, no matter how much rain has been withheld, God said, I will give you rain for your seed. So somewhere, somehow, God is going to make sure that your harvest is not destroyed. It may look like it ain't growing, but God said, I'll give you rain for your seed. If you're in here today, it feels like that all the seed you have planted is drying up and there's no substance from heaven. I want you to hear me today. heal the stroke of your wounds.
Yes.
I bind up and heal. And he said, you will have gladness on the day of judgment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when the time comes, because not everybody responds.
Come on.
Not everybody puts their trust in what has been written. He's documented it. He said, if you do, you will have gladness when the judgment is poured out. I don't know what we've yet to face in this time that we're living right now. I do not know. And there's no way of predicting what's going to take place. But I do know this. As judgment is being released, and it is. Mercy keep us.
Amen.
Why? Because we put our trust in what's been written.
Amen.
Documented. He documented that if you will trust me, I will keep you in the time of tribulation. I will be your protection. I will hide you under the shadow of my wings. Are you with me this morning? But here's one thing I do know, that no matter what judgment we're going to experience or we're going to see, we're going to have joy in the midst of that judgment. I said we're going to have joy in the midst of that judgment. And I can't speak that for you, but I can tell you that's going to be on my house. And I can tell you, come on, somebody, you understand? I can tell you for the remnant, for the bride, for those who are at the threshold, leaving Egypt behind, putting their trust in what has been spoken, amen, living and allowing God to be exalted in their life because of the mercy that is in evident in their life, that when that judgment comes, we will have joy. He will keep us in the hour of tribulation. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I'm still laying a foundation. I'm about to get to where I'm going. That's true. He said, then you will have a song. And you will come to the mountain of the Lord. You'll have a song. I don't know who the Lord is trying to set free here today. But you need to hear what the Lord is saying. That if you don't believe what he has spoken, he's a song. And you'll come to the mountain of the Lord. And he said, I will reveal my arm. There's one scripture that a lot of years have been preached on where it literally says that God will roll up his sleeve. When God rolls up his sleeve, you better be on the side of mercy. Come on. Come on, the Bible says. Amen. When God rolls up his sleeve.
You know, when you roll up your sleeve, you better get in it now. Right?
You're going to get your hands in it. You're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to get down in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. And so when God rolls up his sleeve, hallelujah. So when God reveals his arm, that means, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. That you either are going to be on this side of his mercy, or you're going to be on this side, because when he reveals his arm, it's going to be one thing for those who are with him, but it's going to be another to those who have rejected him. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? And he said, I will reveal my arm. And when his arm is revealed, hallelujah, get ready. And he said, Isaiah prophesied and said that the voice of God will the Assyrians. Can I put it like this? The voice of God will terrify your enemy. So not only is he going to reveal his arm, because when he's he's getting ready to battle. When he extends his arm, he's getting ready to do something. Come on, somebody. It's like when Jesus stands up. Jesus stood up for Stephen. When Stephen was being died, stoned to death. When Jesus stands up, hell better watch out. Hallelujah. Hear me. Hallelujah. God said, I'll reveal my arm. And then I'm going to speak. And his voice will put fear. He will put fear in the enemy. And he will strike them down with his scepter. You know what a scepter is? It's the king's rod. And he will strike them down. So when he reveals his arm, the scepter shows the authority of the king, the rights of the king, the domain of the king, the dominion of the king. And so he said his scepter will strike them down. And he said, and verse 32, back to where we started. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass. That word grounded staff is really translated to be the punishing rod. So it says, every place that that rod passes, and God lays it on the enemy. He said, it will be with tambourines and harps. In battles of shaking. So when God reveals his arm, and in his hand is his scepter, and he strikes the enemy, he said it will be with tabrets or tambourines and lyres. L-Y-R-E, or harps. So tambourines and harps. It will be with tambourines and harps in battles of Shechem.
Well,
I looked at that scripture. So when God begins to fight on behalf of his people, and we know that it's his arm, his scepter, his authority, his dominion, right? When he reveals his arm, he's getting ready to fight for you. When he does that, it's going to be with tambourines and harps in battles of shaking. So literally, he's going to use tambourines and harps during battles of shaking. So I'm like, battles of shaking? What is God speaking about? Now we know Judah means praise. And this is who God was fighting for. On behalf of Judah. So Judah means praise. And that's why we release a lion when we praise.
That's right.
That's why they have Judah roar. Because it's a song that says there's a lion inside of us. When we release our praise, we release that lion. Who is that lion? The lion of the tribe of Judah. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. He is the one in which we, the reason why we have resurrection power inside of us. Hallelujah. And so, he said, with tambourines and with harps amen, in the battle of shaking. Now, Judah is praised, and so our praise, amen. We release our praise, amen. It releases again a roar. It releases a lion. But when you look at that battles of shaking, I begin to look at that in the Hebrew. And that word shaking means in the Hebrew the wave-like motion during sacrificial offerings. So the wave-like motion or the wave offering, we don't have time to go into it today, but they offered unto God a wave offering, and they would take their offering and they would wave it unto the Lord. We do something similar during tabernacles. We wave, amen, the lulav, amen, it's a wave offering unto the Lord. So, amen, that shaking, that word shaking literally means that wave-like motion of the sacrificial offering, and that grounded staff. That word grounded means a foundation. Now it's translated again as the punishing rod. But the word grounded means a foundation. Can I tell you that God's word, what has been written, is a foundation. But it is also quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick means it is active. It means it is alive. It means, it also says that his word is the sword in our armor. Amen. So it literally means that God's word is like the brandishing of a sword, to where you can't see it, you can't hear it. But right now, every second of the day, there is motion in the Word of God, because it's constantly moving and activating, waiting for someone to take hold of it and to make it, hallelujah, do what it has been sent to do. And so it becomes, hallelujah, in the spirit, like that punishing rod. If I can say it like this, the Bible says, because of Jesus, we have been made kings and priests. And so now we hold the scepter of authority through the name and the blood of Jesus. I need somebody to help me. And when we begin to activate the word of God, hallelujah, it becomes that authority, that foundation. We're putting our trust in what has been documented, in what has been written. I need somebody to help me. So, here's what happens. God was saying that I will, amen, show my arm, and I will release that grounding staff. And when it hits the enemy, I will choose where it falls. And it will fall on your enemy. But he said, I will do it with tambourines and with harps or with music. Come on, somebody. Journals of shaking. Can I tell you that when we offer up our praise unto God, it's like a wave offering unto heaven. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Somebody said, help me understand what God was saying. I will fight your battle. And when you give and praise and we begin the tambourine, we begin to play unto the Lord, it's the same thing as God taking his scepter and laying it where the enemy has come against you. I need somebody. Woo! Sacrifice, and sometimes it's a battle, but he said in the battle. my answer. No, that as you shake the tambourine, as you wave your arms in battle, and you praise, my hand will strike your enemy, and you will not be destroyed. It's in the battles of shaking.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. We'll fight. Hallelujah.
Every time. Every time. Hallelujah.
Our praise is a sign of our trust in God's word. And every way is like the word of God being brandished in the presence of the enemy. Watch me do what I have written. Watch me do what has been documented. God said, write it down. Oh, hallelujah. So that when it happens, you will know that I am your God.
Amen.
And you can trust my word. So God will use the shaking of a tambourine to defeat the enemy. See, while you're sneaking over here in Egypt trying to figure this thing out with yourself, trying to go some of the old ways of your past, God's like, I done got this thing taken care of. All I need you to do is get in a battle of shaking. All I need you to do is get in a place of sacrifice. Offer up a prayer. Offer up an offering. Come on. Shout and watch me. Watch me. Lay the scepter on your enemy.
Amen.
And where I decide it falls, that's where it'll fall. See, we think we know what God needs to do to get us out. And we play patty cake and try to get this limp and that limp. God's like, it's the battle of shaking. It's that place of sacrifice, of waving. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I know what needs to be destroyed. Because see, there's an enemy waiting in your tomorrow that you do not know about. You think you've got it figured out, but you don't know. But if you praise him today, if you offer up a battle of shaking today, God said, I will go into your tomorrow and I will strike. Sister Miriam grabbed the tambourine and she said, come on, ladies. I know everybody's excited and all this, but we got to offer up a battle of shaking because we got some enemies ahead of us. Oh, come on, somebody. We got some promised land that we got to take over and we don't know how we're going to do it. And just because we got over, don't mean you can relax. Amen. But she began. I don't know the words to Miriam's song. You can find it in the book of Exodus. But she took the tambourine and she began to shake that tambourine on the other side of the Red Sea. And her and those women, she led them in a chorus that our God has delivered us. She offered up a battle of shaking. She began to offer up a sacrifice. And with that, God began to fight for them. That's why in Jehoshaphat they sent the singers and the music ahead of them because God said with the music and the instruments I will wave my grounding staff and I will lay it on the enemy. That's some powerful promises.
Yes.
See, that word battle there is translated to mean engagement in war. So you can't be hanging out trying to connect back with Egypt. And then the war is obligated to bring you out, but you got to be engaged in this war. You got to be saying, "That's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord." And then I'm going to go all the way. I'm taking this all the way in. Come on, somebody. If God brought us through once, He'll bring us through again.
Amen.
My Lord, hallelujah. See, I'm just crazy enough to praise God. Grab a tambourine when all hell is breaking loose.
Yeah.
Amen. Knowing what God said, putting my trust in what is documented, and just begin to shake it in the face of the enemy. I don't have to say a word. You say, "That's crazy." Might be crazy, but it'll get me through. It'll keep me from losing my sanity. Come on, somebody. Look at Psalm 144:1. I'm about to close. "Bless you, the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight."
Come on. Yep. Go ahead. Come on.
Come on, somebody. He'll use. Lord have mercy. Why do you think the enemy's got some religious denominations thinking that it's a sin to have music in the church? Because it scatters the enemy. Come on, somebody. When you know what is written, when you know and the foundation is the word of God, and you know what's been said. Come on, somebody. It's in that battle of shaking. He'll fight with it. He said, with the tambourines and the hearts, I will fight in the battle of shaking. That's the wave offering. Yes. Release. God is fighting. So He's revealed His arm. The scepter is in His hand. The grounding staff. God, the foundation, the word of God. That which has been written and documented that He will do. As you are engaged in this conflict, the spiritual battle, as you offer up the way offering, the praise, it's like the enemy wants to silence you.
Well,
let me say,
but I got too big of a mouth.
I'll fight with the tambourines and the stringed instruments and the sound of worship. Come on. It'll expose the arm of God.
Yeah.
And it'll bring down His judgment on the enemy. And He'll strike wherever He struck. That might be people, that might be things, that might be demons, whatever it is. If it's resistant to His will for your life, He will strike it. He'll fight for you. Say, "Come to the music. You sing with me across this place." If you're engaged in this spiritual warfare, you're going to know it.
Yep.
The enemy's going to try. And get in. I had a dream last night. Part of that dream, the enemy was trying to get in the door. And even though I would lock it, no sooner would I turn the lock on the knob till I would see the lock twist and turn, and he would open the door and try to get back in. And I had to resist him. Now for me, in my dreams, anytime I'm fighting against demonic activity or I'm fighting the devil, I can't speak. Last night in my dream, I had a little bit of a voice. I was hoarse. But anytime I try to pray in my dreams against the enemy, it's always for me. That's what I experience. So I'm the struggle. And I kept trying to pray in the spirit in my dream and to push the enemy back. He never got in. Except in the beginning of the dream. It was dark. And he got in, and when he walked in, took a light and he put it to my face and he said, "Yep, that's him. He's the one. That's his face." So I'm telling you, the enemy knows who you are. He knows what you stand for. And you're going to know if you're engaged in warfare. And you got to, in those battles of shaking, you got to offer up praise as you are engaged in this war. You gotta praise him. You gotta, and it's a sacrifice. And you're gonna know if you're engaged in this war. The enemy's out for families.
Oh yeah.
I've watched him attack families as of recent, marriages, homes, to try to bring unrest. But God said, write it down, document it. This is the promise that I make for you. And it's been written. It's documented. That's our foundation. And he said, when you've come to that place, as you are shaking the tambourine, playing the string instruments, offering up praise and a sacrifice to me, I will fight with it. With the tambourine, I will fight and destroy the enemy. So the battles of shaking, I don't know the extent of what you're going through today, and I hope this has made sense to you. I don't know the extent of what you're going through today. But I know this, that God has sent me here today to remind you that it is written, he will fight for you.
Amen.
When his arm is revealed and his scepter is released, he begins to lay on every enemy that opposes his will for your life. If you're in here today, as they get ready to worship, if you're in here today, the most important thing is if you're saved, if you've given your life to Jesus. If you're here today and you can't say unequivocally, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus,
respond to this call and come. Come. Say yes. Today's the day. There's a healing in the shake of the tambourine. There's a breakthrough in the shake of the tambourine. There's a miracle in the playing of a stringed instrument. Come on, there's a victory in the waving of your praise. All right, as they go ahead and begin to sing. If you're here today, and if you're lost, this altar's open. But if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready for my praise. I'm ready for my praise. For God to use my praise to fight the battle. I want you to come. We're going to pray with you. Come on. Come on, we're going to pray with you. Come on, quick.